May it please the court, counsel. My name is Bo Brindley, and I represent the defendant appellant, in this case, Yair Berkowitz. Mr. Berkowitz appeals the restitution order that was made by the district court at his sentencing hearing following his sentencing and fraud case. Basically, Mr. Berkowitz's argument and our position boils down to this. It is our position that in order to get the statutory authority to grant restitution in a case that involves as an element a scheme, it is necessary for the district court to make factual findings. Those findings need to define the contours of the scheme, the defendant's role in it, and demonstrate that the defendant is responsible for the amount of money that's being ordered in restitution.
I have trouble seeing how the district court here failed in any of those respects. She defined the scheme very conservatively, actually, to include only transactions that Mr. Berkowitz had a very direct hand in. I take it you're willing to concede that at least $330,000 and some was attributable to the scheme, but her fact findings are really quite precise about the $4 million figure, and that's quite a bit lower than the $19 million figure. She doesn't just throw everything at him.
I agree, Your Honor, that she does not hold him accountable for everything that his father was responsible for in this case. That's the other actor.
Right. So in other words, she's not just making the old mistake of saying if it's relevant conduct, then restitution happens. She zeroes in on what was the scheme and so far as his role in it was involved and how much money flows around in terms of his part of this scheme. And she comes up with the $4 million number, which looks pretty conservative.
Certainly there was, well, in terms of the numbers in the government's version of the offense, there was certainly a lot more money involved in what his father was doing. Now, at the sentencing, we had contested whether even the $4 million was reasonably foreseeable to him. Our position
but
is
that's
that...
that's a fact resolution. I mean, you did put it in front of her, and she says, yes, indeed, it is reasonably foreseeable to him.
I agree, that's right, Your Honor.
That's just clear error review.
I agree, that's right, Your Honor. That's not the issue we're appealing anyway. That was the issue of the loss amount under the guidelines, and we're not appealing that loss amount. But in this instance, when it came to the actual determination of the restitution, at that point in time, no discussion was engaged in by the district court. At that time, when we're talking about restitution, about the contours of the scheme and what should be restitution and what should not. And I think that fact-finding needs to be made in the context of restitution, not simply in the context of the guidelines.
But that's I'm looking at the judgment. I mean, she's extremely clear. There's a column for total loss, and she's looking at restitution ordered. It's all these various states that go on, and she's left it to these entities where we can see Mr. Berkowitz as part of this scheme.
Certainly, the judgment lists the restitution order in that way, Your Honor. But I don't think what I think was missing was when restitution was discussed at the time of sentencing. I think that in order to define restitution as the cases have suggested in the past, as we cited in our brief, she would have needed to, in the context of restitution, make some factual findings. Restitution was just ordered. If you look at the transcript of the sentencing, when we get to the restitution, restitution is
right,
just ordered.
She accepts the PSR's amount, but she had just addressed that same issue in the context of determining the loss amount for purposes of the offense level in calculating the guidelines. So your argument is that she needs to repeat that when restitution is ordered, if it's the same essential of facts?
It's our position that it should be repeated in terms of the restitution to make clear that the fact findings with respect to the restitution are the same in terms of the scheme. Under the guideline argument, what was mainly being discussed was foreseeability. That's what we were talking about. What was foreseeable to Mr. Berkowitz?
Right, but she had to define the scope of the scheme and those harmed and which harms were attributable to him. And the inquiry for restitution makes him liable for harms to persons caused by his scheme, if scheme is an element of the offense, which it was here.
Scheme was an element of the offense here, yes. And when we discussed the guideline issues, we had arguments about what was foreseeable to him and what was not, and she made findings on that. However, I think there's a difference between what's foreseeable to him and what he's responsible for as far as restitution, or there could be, arguably. And because that's a possibility, I think we needed a fact-finding regarding the restitutionary portion of the sentence that was done at the time that that part of the sentencing was discussed.
Well, maybe this is all about whether there was harmless error. If she made the relevant findings at the time of determining the loss amount and just didn't repeat them at the time of ordering restitution, what harm is there?
Well, the findings, the government argues that you're here on plain error because you were not really raising this point.
We certainly objected to the restitutionary amount at the time that we went to sentencing and prior to sentencing. We made that objection.
But the reason matters. I mean, you can say I don't like the amount, and you've got to give the district court some guidance as to what issue the courts should focus on.
And that's true, Your Honor, and we did, and what we were talking about was foreseeability. And what we said, and the government's correct in their brief on this, what we said was we object to the amount being an amount that's more than was foreseeable to our client.
Right. And now you say you're not arguing about foreseeability. That's why I say you may very well be facing a plain error standard of review, which is
that,
hard.
Even so, even under the plain error standard of review, if in order to have statutory authority to order restitution, these fact findings are necessary. I think it's a predicate for statutory authority. And if you don't have statutory authority, then I think pursuant to the Locke case, the error would be plain. And if there aren't any other questions, I would reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Brindley. Ms. Bonamici.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. The court is correct that the district court did make the necessary findings in this case, and she did so based on a fairly elaborate record presented to her by the government. And this was a record to which the defendant never really complained. The defendant did not challenge the notion that the losses that were set forth by the government were actually incurred. He did not challenge the fact that they were connected to the individuals with him whom he worked during the entire course of the scheme. He did not challenge anything, really, with respect to this issue except for a generalized notion about foreseeability, which, in fact, he challenged with nothing really but an argument, and which was insufficient to in any way overcome the government's evidence. In this context, the district court made specific findings. On page 15 of the transcript of the sentencing hearing, she found that the amounts that they, meaning the government or the probation office, have attributed to him are the amounts that directly are related to his hands-on interaction with the scheme. This finding was clearly sufficient under the statute to support the restitution order, and it was clearly supported by the record.
So the hands-on comment is designed to make it clear it's not just relevant conduct.
Right. That's correct, Your Honor. So there's no question. As far as the district court's failure to repeat this finding again in the context of restitution, nothing that the defendant said at that time suggested that there was a need to do so. The restitution figure, the actual loss figure, flowed from the same analysis that the intended loss flowed from, that is, that it was limited to the refunds that were paid on fraudulent tax returns submitted by the individuals with whom the defendant was directly working all the way through the scheme. That was made perfectly clear by the government in both its written submissions and at sentencing in a pretty elaborate discussion during the sentencing about how the amounts were arrived at. The district court had no need to repeat her findings, and there was absolutely no error, no clear error, no plain error, no error of any kind in this case. And the government would ask that this court affirm the judgment.
Thank you, Ms. Miller.
addressing the specific comment made by the district court that was quoted by the government regarding the statement that these are amounts directly related to the hands-on interaction of the defendant. In it's our position that with respect to coming to a restitutionary amount where the requirement is to define the contours of the scheme, I think even that statement there is more general than would be necessary. I think in order to trigger the statutory authority pursuant to the Locke case in defining contours, I think she would have had to define what roles, not just that say it's hands-on the defendant, but what role did the other people play and how did the defendant's role fit in with those. I think that's what it would be to define the contours of the scheme.
Why is that important? If he's doing something, even if other people are doing a little more or a little less?
Well, because it's not clear from the district court's comment, as I see it, Your Honor, what all the district court here is saying is hands-on interaction. And I think
in
that's
other
a
words,
fairly...
he was personally doing things, you know.
Yeah, yes, doing...
Why,
yeah. Yes, yeah, doing things, Your Honor.
Running the scheme, you know, getting these phenomenal amounts of money, you know, from state and federal taxing authorities.
But I think what our position is, Your Honor, is that it needs to be what the things are he was doing needs to be more plainly defined, not just to say that he did them or was actually his hands on it. That doesn't tell us what it was that he did. And I think to define the contours of the scheme, you would need to do that. And that's the reason why I think that there wasn't statutory authority to grant restitution in the case, and we would ask that it be reversed and remanded for that reason.
Well, an objection of that specificity was never lodged.
No, Your Honor, it was not, and it is our position, as stated in our reply brief, that it would be plain error if the statutory authority did not exist due to the predicate finding. Thank you.
Let me ask you one question. Would it be your position, then, that Judge Kendall would have had to define years involvement by parsing what Marvin, David, and Eric did so that you could track what part of the overall scheme was years? Is that?
I think that you would need to have an idea of what each of the members was doing so you could have a full definition of the acts taken by Yair Berkowitz. Ultimately, I think just saying it was hands-on is more general than need be. We certainly need more specificity about which things Yair Berkowitz did, which I think was absent from the finding on restitution. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks to all counsel. And, Ms. Brindley, you have the additional thanks for accepting this appointment.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. The case is taken under advisement.